Radio Gorgeous.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day.
Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Barbara Lorna Hudson. Thank you for coming to meet me at the Society Club and having a coffee in Soho.
It's a pleasure.
And you've come from Oxford today.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit, before we get to your book, Timed Out, I want to talk a little bit about your background. You have been a psychiatric social worker. Then you have had another career as an Oxford lecturer.
That's right.
And now you have turned your hand to fiction.
That's it.
Excellent. I wanted to talk about that career trajectory and your involvement in storytelling. There seemed to be a thread there that is connective, people-oriented, and story-oriented.
Yes, I hadn't really thought of it like that, but certainly to be a good social worker, you have to be interested in people and other people's stories, and you have to be a good listener. And I think you store it up and you get more and more understanding of people and how they talk and how they see their lives. As to the lectureship, it was a lectureship in social work. So, in fact, I was passing on what skills I thought I had to my students in Oxford and living, I think, in one of the most beautiful places in England. Second most beautiful place, perhaps.
Second to?
Cambridge, where my novel is set.
And tell me, what do you think, what is the role of story? What is the potential power of story and storytelling?
I think to understand someone else's story is to gain something yourself, to gain something about how you see the world, to understand more. And I think there's a sort of enjoyment, perhaps it's just nosiness as well in my part. I have to say, I think one motivation for social work is nosiness as well as caring.
So I get to poke into your life.
That's
and
it.
Potentially help you.
Yes, yes.
And what is that? Is that, because I think that is twin impulses also of the novelist.
Yes.
But what does that feed in us?
I think it just enriches our lives. I think that's the simplest way to put it. And the more we understand other people, the more we understand ourselves.
And the more forgiving.
Yes.
And compassionate, I think we become.
To others and to ourselves.
That leads me nicely to your novel, Timed Out. Because it tells the story of a woman who hasn't found the love of her life. Who has focused on her career and belatedly after retirement realizes, oh, that's something I want in my life. I want companionship. I want a partner. I want to share my life with someone.
Yes.
It struck me also that by the end, she very, very belatedly comes to accept herself. She sort of accepts a more realistic picture of herself.
Yes, I think that's true. Can I warn you, please don't give away the end.
I haven't.
No, you haven't yet. I think that's true, yes. She does learn some hard truths about herself and then comes perhaps to accept herself and to value what she actually has.
Could you tell me the story, in your words, of Timed Out? Without revealing the ending.
Well, the protagonist is retired, 60-ish, divorced, and finds that she's lonely. when she retires, she looks back on her life, she takes stock, and she realises she hasn't really got what she'd really like in life. And she finds herself waking up in the morning thinking, what is the point of me? Because it's not just that she wants someone for her, she wants someone to give to as well. And when she had her students and her job, perhaps she didn't notice it so much.
That is that sense of compassion. And she hasn't yet learned how to be compassionate to herself.
That's
She's quite hard on herself.
Yes, yes.
And that struck me as a very common thing in young people, in young women. I'm thinking, I recently, you know, reread some diaries of mine. I was really harsh on myself. And I can be really harsh on myself now. And I think, oh gosh, that's going to be a squanderous waste.
Yes. Well, the thing about my character, Jane, is that she doesn't give up easily, and she decides to do something about this before it's too late. And she tries to improve herself in all sorts of ways. And she also takes up internet dating. And she re-examines some of her... She's an atheist, and she has another look at those big questions, because, of course, they can give you a meaning if you get a suitable answer from them. So she tries these things, and the book is really about her search for a meaningful life in retirement.
RadioGorgeous.com.
Because also, I mean, one imagines, it did give me, just in it, one, it's a lovely story, and it is, you know, and a lovely read. It felt very realistic being in her head, and the experience of putting oneself out there again. I mean, I'm 49 and it fills me with fear and loathing, you know, like getting naked in front of a new person and, you know, and also someone who doesn't know your backstory, who didn't know you when you were pretty, who didn't know you when you were young, who didn't know you when you were working and clever and important.
Yeah.
And you have to summon up, and it really highlights the importance of summoning up, yes, this is who I am.
Yes, you've got to be a bit brave, I think. I think the other thing is, I mean, I've done internet dating myself, as you probably guess. And I think one of the important things is that you have to probably sign up with the right sort of agency. And I don't want to advertise a dating agency, but I would say this, if they're the people who read the same newspaper as you, have the same values as you, have the same politics as you, that's a big help to start off with. And you have to remember that if you get people who are a similar age, they've lost their looks too, you know.
Yes.
And they can't, some of them are awful, and they expect, you know, they expect dolly birds in their 20s when they're really ugly and old. But among them, certainly in my own experience, I met some very, very nice people, and I'm still in touch with quite a number who I only met once or twice, but we kept in touch by email, and some of them are reading my book.
Trying to find themselves.
Yes, I think they'd have quite a hard job. I did work on fictionalizing, but I did use a lot of my own experience, particularly in the beginning, which was very memoirish. The second half of the book really was invented.
Excellent. Yeah, because there are some... It's so funny. It doesn't matter if it's internet dating or dating, you know, dating pre the internet. It's still the same thing, and possibly even worse, because you still have this unequal divide of, you know, a limited field, expectations, the men wanting younger women.
Yes.
You know, and the scarcity theory.
Yes.
I was going to say, my father in his 80s, when my mother died, I mean, think about it. He was fully ambulatory, had all his marbles, and he was a night driver. Now, talk about cock of the walk. He had it all.
gosh.
You know, he didn't have to stick to the early bird special. You could go out at 8 o'clock at night, you know, and drive. This was, you know, woohoo. He was like one of two.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish I'd met him.
Yeah, exactly. Total catch. You know? But yeah, I mean, it's just like, wow, are we still doing this? And yet you realize, yes,
we're still the same inside, you know, and it's such a shock to look in the mirror when you've been glamorous in your youth and you see yourself and you can't believe what's happened to you. But in your mind, you're still the same.
Which is wonderful when you realize that you can look at someone else and say, yes, there you are, like, look at you, you ragged beauty and all you've been through, and here we are. And, you know, and every, you know, trek of the journey is etched in your face and your body, and yeah, here we are with all we have. Did you find that dating, internet dating, was different than, say, dating in your youth? And I mean, it's sort of an easier pool. Everybody's all there gathered at once.
It's difficult for me because I had the wonderful experience of being a woman at Cambridge University, where there were 10 men to every woman, and I had no trouble.
Just crook my little finger.
That's right, yes. Yeah. People sent me notes across the lecture room. I mean, all sorts of wonderful things happened. So I can't really compare it, but sort of in the middle years, if you like, sort of 30s, 40s, it wasn't greatly different, because in the end, you meet someone for the first time, and if they're single and you're single, you are eyeing each other up. Whether it's you've met through the internet or at a friend's dinner party, you're still eyeing each other up.
And there's still chemistry.
Or not.
Or not. Know, serious lack thereof.
Yes, you know. Yes.
Yeah. What I also enjoyed about the book is, you know, like any other literary romance, there's a lot of sex.
Yes,
it's good to know.
I used to be a sex therapist in among my careers, and I suppose I know what I'm talking about, and so I felt quite safe in that. And I hope people aren't shocked or surprised that these people in their 60s are having rather a good time in bed. Mm-hmm. Well, some of them are, some of the time.
Well, but also there was, without giving anything away, I think I can say there was a really lovely scene of a very loving relationship, but also sexual dysfunction.
Yes.
And how that was really lovingly managed.
Yes, yes.
And like I said, it really felt, you know, quite realistic. Very enjoyable. And also, I have to say that I did find that it's not the ending that one thinks of, but it is a satisfying, it is a very satisfying ending.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yeah.
Well, I like to mention that it's a mixture of dark and light. And I think for some people that could be difficult, or it could be a relief to find the light and a relief to find a bit of shadow. It's quite sad in places, and I hope quite funny in places. It's a kind of wry sense of humour that I think I've got. For example, describing rather old ladies at a swimming pool, looking at the pretty girls and hiding behind their towels, and the heroine, who isn't quite as old as some of the others, seeing the future of sagging breasts and, you know, grey pubic hair and all the rest of it. So it's not exactly funny, but it's slightly humorous, I suppose.
Well, but also that's the journey that your character Jane has to go on. It's a time of life where, you know, it's bracketed, the book is bracketed by two retirement parties. And in that time, it is a time of loss and moving on. She's, you know, okay, so that period of my life working for a living is now over. It's a time in everyone's life where the early illnesses and deaths start creeping up and mounting. Parents, if they're still alive, are certainly, you know, leaping off the mortal coil at an astonishing rate. I mean, so there's, you know, there's death and decay surrounds you. And yet, because she does go on this journey, and because she's searching, and because she's thinking, and because, as you say, she's a character who doesn't give up, she finds the humor.
Yes, yes, she sees it.
She has to find the humor.
Yes.
We're all forced to find the humor. Without the silver lining, we're fucked.
Yes.
RadioGorgeous.com.